All right, you can turn in your Bibles a while to Revelation chapter 22. Yes, I know we still have one message left in the book of Nehemiah. We will bring that to you the week after Brother Al Kamard visits with us for the revival services. Then we'll pick up and finish the Nehemiah study. But today, I want us to look at Revelation chapter 22. In fact, I'm going to read, verses 6 through 21. Then we'll get into it. Revelation 22. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. I draw attention to the fact that he bowed before this angel. Now look at the next verse. Then saith he, the angel, unto me, see thou do it not. So we know that was not God. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who would that be referring to? That would be referring to Jesus, who is God. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Now that clears up who was speaking. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, in the book of Revelation, we have studied this in the past, but you will find in the book of Revelation some very interesting and scary stories. And by the way, everything that even is scary there is true, and it's going to happen. You see, first of all, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, you see Christ, Jesus Christ, in all his glory. You also see it mentions seven churches, which is represented. These churches did exist in history, but also it is represents the seven periods of church history. We live in the final one. Different study for a different time. We already did a study on that before. We've also heard, and you can turn to it if you want to, we heard the trumpet blast in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, at that time, John was told to come up. and you don't hear anything more about the church after chapter 4, because guess where the church is when Jesus comes back and the rapture happens? We're in heaven. So that's representative also of the rapture there in chapter 4. And then you hear about the tribulation and all the horrors of the end time for those that are left behind. And then you will learn what to expect during the millennium. And you also learn about heaven and hell and the eternal state. So, here's a question for you. So, what do we do until the trumpet blasts? We're still here. That means Christ has not returned. We have not gone to meet him in the air yet. That's what's going to happen, because we don't go through the tribulation. So what do? We hear all kinds of things going on, but we're told also, even in the book of Matthew, especially chapter 24, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be all kinds of things happening, just like now. I think it started back in 2019, this COVID situation. I don't think that we will ever know the truth of how it got into the world. God knows. But boy, we've had to deal with that. Isn't it amazing how everything now revolves around COVID? I haven't heard any reports on how many deaths were the last 2 years due to the flu. I haven't heard anything about how many deaths have been attributed to cancer. It's almost like every other disease has gone away, and it's only COVID that we are concerned about. I was talking to somebody the other day, and she said to me, I understand you have the same problem I do in the spring and fall. We have allergies and of course, pollen and all that, and the leaves dying and falling off the trees. Every now and then, that affects my breathing. So every now and then, I might have to get out my hanky and say, achoo, and everybody. Nothing to do. They don't realize, you know, there's other things in this world than COVID. Or I blow my nose or I, oh, boy, you know. But, that's pretty sad. I refuse to live in fear. I've said that before. Now, do I want COVID? I sure don't. Brother Bill Sprinkle Jr. could not even come to his own father's funeral because he had gotten COVID and he was in the hospital for a week and he was still recovering. He was very weak. So I don't want it. Understand, I'm not making a mockery of COVID. It's serious and it's real. But I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to take precautions when I can. I take care of myself, and that's the way it is. But I'm not going to live in fear about it. So, thus we come to, what is our responsibility while we watch? That's the title that you see on the screen. We're not supposed to live in fear. Yes, we know these things happen. We're told they will. And we're told that the more they increase, the closer it is to the return of Jesus, when we meet him in the air and spend eternity with him. Amen? Looking forward to that time. But I believe we have four simple responsibilities that I think stand out here in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation that we need to pay attention to. Very simple, but very important. What we need to do. What is our responsibility while we watch? The key word there is watch. There are times, I'm sure you're the same way, some of you already told me this. Sometimes when you walk outside and there's a couple clouds up there, and maybe it's a day where things just weren't, you know, going real well, and you look up and you see some clouds, and you say, oh, Lord, could it be today? Could, in fact, I look more for the clouds now than I do the bright sun without clouds, because it says he's coming to meet us in the clouds in the air. And, oh, that's exciting. That's very exciting. So what is our first responsibility? We need to keep God's word. We need to keep God's word. Verses 6 to 9, which we read earlier, let's look at that again very quickly. I want to point something out to you. Verse 6, it says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." Verse 9. "Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant." What do you mean, do not? Don't worship me, I'm just an angel. "I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." There's a lot of people out there worshiping other beings and things than God. That's sad, isn't it? A fact of the matter is, John, earlier in the book of Revelation, was warned about that before. Don't bow down before anybody but God. Isn't it interesting how many people bowed down before Jesus, and not one of them did he say to, get up, I'm just a man, get up, don't worship me. He never said it. If you find it in the scripture, bring it to me. You won't find it, because why? He is God. He is the one that paid the ultimate sacrifice. He is the one that took upon himself the form of man. Now, we can't understand. How could it be 100% God and 100% man? I can't explain it to you. There's a lot of things that you can't understand and can't be explained to you. Even the scientists that want to believe in evolution. Even when they get to a point where somebody asks them, well, okay, you say this bumped together and that bumped together and that formed this. Well, where did those things come from that bumped together? Well, we're still checking on that. It might take us a billions of years to find out, but we'll let you know when we find out. I know where it all came from. It wasn't things bumping together. God and Jesus was there at the beginning, created time and created the things in time. Yeah, there it is. That's how simple it is. But they don't come and ask me those things before they write science books. You understand? I don't know why, but they just don't. Verses 18 and 19, there you have the same concept. Keep, that word keep, what does that mean? It means to watch over or preserve. That's what that means. It is a very dangerous thing to tamper with or alter God's word. Very dangerous. Some modern translations, they play fast and loose with the scriptures. They water it down to the point that it loses its potency and power, and it loses its true meaning. Some twist it to make it say what they want it to say. Every cult that was ever started, either in the man or woman's past, they were convicted by the true word of God. They didn't like what God said to them. They didn't like that they couldn't do this or that. So they said, okay, we'll just write another one. You want a good example? The JWs. They call themselves the Jehovah Witnesses. They started their own cult, and they decided, well, we got to do something about John 1:1. We don't believe that Jesus is God. We got to do something about that. So what did they do with their translation? They made sure John 1:1 was changed, so it wouldn't reflect the truth who Jesus really is. There's other men or women who have started religions that came up with a new book that they call Scripture. And most of them, if not, I would say all of them, when they are false, reject who Jesus Christ really is. That should scare them. That should scare them. But if they don't believe that Jesus is God, they don't care one way or the other. Well, cults get their start when they change what is the word. I think it's very important to make sure that we have a good translation. There's probably in the English language now over 100 translations. Now, we're not going to go into a study about why we use the King James and all that, but I'm just telling you, there's other translations out there that I just don't trust. Now, you can help yourself and sit down and study the same as I did why I don't trust some of the other ones. Another message for another day. Buy me coffee and we'll talk about it. No donuts, I'm off of that now. But anyhow, the cults get their start when they change what is the word. They distort the word of God, which really frustrates the grace of God, which ridicules the Spirit of God. Some of them don't even believe in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God we only worship. So, well, how do you explain that? Well, the closest you can come, and even this is not accurate, the closest you can come to understanding the Trinity, and remember, this is not dogmatic, is yourself. You are made up of spirit, soul, and body. That's even been proven by scientists who tried to disprove it. And that's another story for another time. And that's not even accurate description. But at least God, because we have these little pea brains anyhow, at least he gives us something to say, okay, well, I understand that. Well, God, maybe I'll understand that better when I get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, it won't mean anything anyhow. You'll be with Jesus for eternity. Amen? Some things we can't know. I'll tell you one thing. I've often said this. God has always existed. No beginning, no end. Alpha and Omega. Don't spend too much time on trying to figure that out. We'll visit you at the funny farm. You can't understand that, but you believe it because God tells us in his word that that is so. Let's move on here. We're not going to read all 25 scriptures, but I hope if you are interested in that, you'll pick one of those up where it lists all the scriptures that are assuring us that Jesus is God. Some say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Yes, he did. He said it in his word. He might not have said it in the other words that men have put together, but in the scriptures, he says he is God. Not was God, he is God. He says it. Help yourself. They're there. When we run out, I'll make more. How can people get so far from the truth? How can they follow another book? And the other book is not God's word. Now, I believe God can help those people, those organizations, those other religions, and others like them in light of verses 18 and 19. What did it say? I think that's worth reading again too. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, we are to keep God's word. Who are the we? Well, the we is me, the pastor. The we is the staff. We have a little staff here, not short in stature, but the staff is supposed to keep the word. And guess who else is supposed to keep the word? All of you. All of you. So you should be concerned about the word of God. Isn't it wonderful and marvelous how God has preserved his word forever? He's even used certain men to write it. When the canon of the scripture was complete, when we've had all the scripture that we need, because it tells us not to add to it or take away from it. Boy, I wish we still had a local Bible Institute or like a Harrisburg School of the Bible where people who work during the day could go in the evening and sit down and learn from pastors that would teach the Word of God. And they would teach about these things. They would teach about how did we get the Word of God. And when you start studying back through the centuries how the Word of God was preserved, by who? Of course, by God, his sovereign. He knows how to do it. He can preserve his word. He even says in the scripture, my word is settled for eternity in heaven. He has preserved it. And he has seen fit to give it to us. I said one time to a guy I was visiting, and he didn't even want me there, but I don't know how I got in, but I got in. And we're sitting there, and he's saying, now look, don't quote that scripture to me. I saw you were getting ready to open that Bible. Don't do that, because I don't believe any of that. That's filled with myth and error. So I sit there quietly. I closed my Bible. I handed it to him. I said, here, take it. Now open it up and show me the myth and the error. He didn't open it. You know why? He heard some J. Fluvius Fluffyhead telling that, and he believed them instead of the Word of God. He couldn't find any. I even had a brother in the Lord, this goes back many, many years. He said, you know, you ought to be careful about that when you give somebody the scripture like that, and they know the Greek or the Hebrew, they might be able to find something in there that, they can show you. I said, really? Maybe I ought to give it to you and you show me. There's no myth or error in there. Let me give you an example. I've used this so many times. I think it was Galileo that invented the telescope. I think, am I right there, the Galileo? Yeah, it's one of them guys. And he's looking up there, and one of the first things he said, he says, man, now not in these words. He was more educated than me. I said, man, there's a lot of stars up there. Well, I could take him to scriptures long before that he invented the telescope, and I could show him in the Bible where it says there's a multitude of stars out there. God knew it. There was a lot of them out there. Here's another one. I remember a time in history when they decided if you were sick, what they would do is they'd bleed you. They'd let some blood out. Well, now that's dumb. Even the scripture tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. So, you don't want to drain it out. Another thing? I'm glad they changed this, because this would be a smelly place today. They told us, the scientific world told us at one point, it was very detrimental to your health for you to get into a tub and take a bath. So, no, why don't you read and study and find out some of these things? And if you find that that's not true, then come and tell me I'm lying. No, that's how dumb man is. We're supposed to be clean, supposed to bathe. I'm glad for that, amen? Yeah. Let's move on. We're getting on rabbit trails here. We did get to rabbit, though, so don't worry about it. May we, as a congregation, May we never become a hodgepodge of doctrinal beliefs. You know what I learned when I was in evangelism? I learned in evangelism there's a couple topics that when you went into a church as a guest speaker, you should not address. You let the pastor deal with certain issues. Two of them was dress, how you dress. Some preachers would come to the conclusion if they came here today and saw that not all of you were in long dresses down below your knees and your blouses and your dresses were buttoned up to the top, you weren't too good of a Christian. Others would look around and say, oh my goodness, that lady, she's in slacks. Whoa, that's terrible. Well, you know my opinion about that, don't you? The Bible says we, including men, but it addresses women, dress how? Modestly. Pleasing the Lord. Another one is divorce and remarriage. Whoa. You put 10 Baptists together in one room, even on that subject, and they might have fisticuffs, if you know what that means. So as an evangelist, you didn't touch that. Some preachers believe different things, even about the passage in Matthew, that I believe gives a permission under certain circumstances for remarriage. Some would say, oh, no, that's not what that says. Well, I learned when I go into church, don't mess with it. Don't touch that. If that preacher believes differently than me, it's not a doctrine that's going to send one of us to heaven and one of us to hell. But don't mess up his church by telling people that he's wrong. You get the picture there. So let's move on here. Number two. Getting closer to time here. We need to keep serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. You know what the real test is? It's not how high we jump when we hear it. It's how straight we walk. There's the difference. In other words, what I'm saying is, we need to make sure we obey what the word says. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer of the word. Scripture tells us that. It's not just the head that we want to affect, but the heart. And can we add the hands and our bodies? Verses 12 through 14, according as his work shall be, blessed are they that what? Do the word. You believe it? Do it. Do it. Number three, we need to keep our lives clean. Kind of goes right along with it. What we just said about serving the Lord. Verse 15 mentions the word dogs. That word that's translated dogs here in the English in verse 15 is the same word that's translated in the English abominable in chapter 21, verse 8. How will we be found as we're watching for the Lord? It talks about the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is given to those who live in light of Jesus, soon return, because it says in verse 4, Jesus speaking, my reward is with me. One of the things that happened after the rapture is the Bema seat and also the marriage supper of the Lamb. By the way, men, this will be our first experience when we get to heaven. We're not the groom. We're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. And when I mentioned about the Bema seat, that's where we stand before Christ. And our sins have already been judged on Calvary. But we can receive rewards and crowns for what we have done in the flesh. And it tells us some will receive a reward, some won't. But that's what that's all about. And that'll be wonderful too, won't it? And then the great thing about that, there's five crowns that we can win or get as a reward. Wouldn't it be great? And I'm not saying I'm going to get anything, but wouldn't it be great? I don't know how you get them all on, but if you got all five crowns. But you know what you're going to do even after you get them? It won't be any of this. No? You'll immediately take it off or whatever you have there. You'll lay them at the feet of the one that gave you the power, the strength, and the ability to serve him in the first place. And he rightly deserves all of that. Rightly deserves all of that. We are to be watching and working. And I believe that crown will be given to those that live in such a way that they live in such a way they want to be found working for him when he comes, when he returns. Challenges in Scripture to do right are usually connected with the Lord's return. Did you know that? Check it out. The command to observe the Lord's Supper is given in light of the second coming. The words that I read from the Scripture indicate that. Giving generously, living a holy life with the help of the Holy Spirit. Comforting and hurting and helping others is part of it. Preaching the word. Not just tickling ears, but preaching the word. Talks about treating people fairly, even if you're a boss, treating your employees fairly. We're commanded to be patient. We all need work on that. And we could go on with the list, all revolving around pleasing the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also. Listen to these words. That love his appearing. Important how we live our lives. Some Christians, I'm convinced, might be embarrassed when he comes because of what they're doing or not doing. Just something to think about. Oh, we listen to Christian radio, and we go to church. We don't drink, smoke, chew, or kiss girls that do. All of that. We love God, but we often don't live our lives in such a way that says, I'm really anticipating his appearance. We often say here, it'd be nice if he came right now. That'd be great. But if he comes right now, here's a question for each and every one of us to answer. And I already know the answer to this from a lot of you, but not all of you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God face to face? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Crown of righteousness is a reward that will be given to all who look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How will we be found? What will we be doing in that moment? I know we're human. We're still in the flesh. I understand that. but it's still something to think about. Number four, and the last one, we need to keep expecting Christ's return. Verse 17, the message of Revelation is that Jesus is coming. Are you watching? Important, are you watching? I didn't say waiting, I said, are you watching? There's a difference. Let me give you an illustration, a story that I came across that I think will bear this out. The scene is in an airport. Some of you might have experienced this. A plane is landing sometime today. You know how schedules are with planes. And several men on the tarmac will help unload the luggage when the plane gets here. In the meantime, they stand around waiting for the plane to come. Who knows what they're doing? They're waiting for the plane. They know it eventually will come, but they're not sure when. It doesn't matter to them when it arrives, whether it's later, whenever. They're getting paid. But then there's a young woman with two little kids and a newborn, and she's inside the gate, and she keeps looking out the window and tapping her foot. She can't wait because her husband is on that plane, and in what we're thinking of today, he's coming back from Afghanistan. She paces, and she stares at the clock and out the window again and again. She's not waiting for the plane. She's watching. She's watching. She's watching. Let's keep expecting his return, and let's keep watching. Let's keep busy. We should be concerned about the scripture. We should be concerned about continuing to serve him with all of our hearts. We should be concerned, not for show, but we should be concerned that people recognize, boy, they are different. They live differently. They're not parading it around, but they dress differently. Well, my goodness, look at that. Even in the middle of a busy restaurant, they bowed their heads and held hands, even with the kids. And I think they're praying and watching for his return. Now, be very careful when you drive home today after this message. Because if it's cloudy out there, I can't remember. Don't get too distracted by looking up at the clouds that you would wreck, but have the attitude of watching. He's coming back. Most important thing is make sure you're ready to meet him in the air. Amen? Let's pray.